Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Wood, our speaker will be Dr. Bob Lane, pastor of Westside Baptist Church in Augusta, Georgia. The title of his message is The Qualities of Life of a Person Who Runs. The text is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
We're very privileged to have in chapel today Dr. Robert Lane. He's the pastor of the Westside Baptist Church in Martinez, Georgia, which is just outside of Augusta, Georgia. Graduated from BJU in 1977. He founded this church 20 years ago. He's been pastoring in this area for some 20 years. He's been a faithful servant of the Lord and a friend to BJU. He's spoken here often to our ministerial students. He gives us a great and godly example of what a stable pastor should be. He and his wife Kay have three children. Their daughter Adrian and their son Andrew are present students, and I expect the other son somewhere down the road in a few years. He's 13 now. During the first semester, he was the guest speaker in our ministerial class, and we heard some great reports of how he blessed these young preachers' hearts. And I'm sure that he'll bless your heart today as he opens to us the Word of God. You give him your utmost attention. Dr. Lane.
Thank you. I want to thank Dr. Wood for his gracious invitation. I want to thank Dr. Bob for allowing me to stand before you this morning. He told me what to preach. So if you don't like what I'm preaching this morning, blame him, okay? But speaking to you this morning is truly an honor, a personal honor. My daughter, Adrian, said she prayed that during her 4 years of Bob Jones that her dad would be able to preach sometime in chapel. Well, her prayers have been answered, and I hope they're answered in a good way. So I appreciate, again, being here. And what a joy to see you students and to be a part of your day this day. I want to begin with a question. Are you running? I was once the fastest runner in our family. You know, that's quite an accomplishment. But after two knee surgeries and a few years, I can honestly say my two sons have passed me. My daughter is even faster than me, and I really believe even my wife could beat me in a race. So I'm not doing so well. But fortunately, the emphasis today is not on physical running, but on spiritual running. In this message, we're going to look at how God tells us we ought to run. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And here we see the qualities of life of a person who runs. The qualities of life of a person who runs. The apostle, having just illustrated in Hebrews chapter 11 the nature and power of faith through the heroes of faith, now proceeds to exhort us to apply these same principles of living to our lives, to manifest the same steady faith and confidence in God and perseverance in holy living. And he calls these ancient worthies a great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." The allusion here, of course, is to the ancient sports, which were watched by a huge number of spectators, which makes the point that the Christians today, young people, are compassed with these witnesses, these martyrs, as the Greek indicates, who through death have testified to the validity of their faith in the living God. These many spectators, this cloud of witnesses, just men made perfect, are in the grandstands of heaven exhorting, urging Christians to run as they ran, which tells me what they have done, you and I can do, and you and I must do. Young people, what this cloud of witnesses has given us is an example to follow, which is a life that runs. Now, positionally, Christians are seated together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. meaning because of our salvation, we stand not only dead to sin, but alive to righteousness through Christ's resurrection. But we also enjoy our Lord's exaltation, and we share in His preeminent glory. That is our position. Our practice, however, our service, our activity is described here in Hebrews chapter 12 as running. And the practice of running for the Christian is so important that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Therefore, so run that ye may obtain." Run in such a way, young people, to get the prize. Now, when I think of someone running in a race, what comes to my mind is a concentration of purpose, a singleness of aim, and an intensity to give it all one has. Young people, to run to win, not just run to finish, but run to receive the prize, takes every ounce of heart and determination we have. Which tells me running is not easy. I know from having run competitively in junior high and high school, running is not easy. And especially is it not easy when it comes to running successfully spiritually, for everything is against us. J.C. Ryle has written, "Without there will be fightings, within there will be fears. There will be snares to be avoided and temptations to be resisted. There will be your own treacherous hearts, often cold and dead and dry and dull. There will be friends who will give you unscriptural advice and relations who will even war against your soul. In short, there will be stumbling blocks on every side. There will be occasions for all your diligence and watchfulness and godly jealousy and prayer. And you will soon find that to be a real Christian is no light matter. But I add, it will be worth it all to so run to obtain the prize, to win the prize. And the prize, it's experiencing the life of Jesus Christ." Paul said, "And yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Young people, it is worth it. This morning I want to describe for you how we are to run. The qualities we must have to run well, to run like the cloud of witnesses. Well, let's pray and then we'll begin. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for what it teaches us. I thank You for the example of the cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. And Lord, how they're encouraging us even this day to run as they ran, to win the prize that they have won. And Lord, help us not to take this for granted, this opportunity to run as they ran. Lord, You placed us in this race. Might we be faithful. And in Jesus' name, amen. Quality number one, to run well, we must have a heart that is free and pure. Hebrews 12:1 is actually saying, before we start running, let us lay aside every weight. And there we see a heart that's free, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And there we see a heart that is pure. Before I ran in a race, I would remove everything but the bare necessities. For I did not want anything to hinder me, to anything to hold me back. And if I would do that for some insignificant physical race, which would be over in about 5 minutes, how much more zealous and earnest should we be about a race that determines, young people, the outcome of our lives? How you run determines how you live and how you will finish and what God will say to you one day. Now, the word for weighing in the Greek refers to that which impedes or burdens by weighing one down. And so we can say it is anything which prevents us from making the highest attainment in the Christian life. Everything that is hurtful to our souls must be cast aside, not at some future date, but now. Before we start running, we are to lay these weights aside. And what are some examples of weights that impede our running? And keep in mind that these are things that are usually not inherently evil. For some of you, your weight is a wrong friend. Perhaps a girlfriend or boyfriend, perhaps the wrong girlfriend or boyfriend. Maybe your weight is a hobby. It takes away too much of your time. It takes too much of your energy. It takes too much of your thinking during the day. It consumes you. Maybe it is sports. I guess if I have one battle, one weight, it would be sports. This is March Madness. And I am a Duke fan. And it would be very easy for me to allow my joy to be determined how far Duke gets in this tournament. I say that's a weight. If my joy is dependent on how Duke does in the NCAA tournament, I think that's a weight. Do I want them to win? Sure. But if they don't win, it should be no big deal. Amen? But in respect to Christian liberty, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient or beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And so I lay these weights aside. They do not control me. They do not consume me. Young people, anything that you put before the Lord, that comes between you and the Lord, that affects your faithful service for the Lord, that really becomes far too important, too consuming, is a weight. The Christian who is running well is not in subjection to any appetite or habit. He has already laid aside these hindrances. He has a heart that is free. Now, to have a heart that's pure, we must lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. And what are two sins in particular that can so easily entangle us? Well, I would say pride and unbelief. I read not too long ago, there is no spirit in man more opposed to the Spirit of God than the spirit of pride. And you ask why? Because pride creates in us an independent heart and not a dependent heart. You can tell, I can tell when I have pride in my heart, I move away from the Lord. I don't move to Him. And pride displays itself in three basic ways. We have pride of virtue, we have pride of knowledge, and we have pride of power. Virtuous pride glories, I am cleaner than you. Intellectual pride boasts, I am smarter than you. Dominating pride gloats, I am stronger than you. But what does Paul say? The only thing worth glorying in is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But how easy it is to say, Lord, I thank Thee that I am not like some folk I know. I don't do the things they do. Young people, we can be proud of our separation. I think, though, of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7, that you might learn in us not to think above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Do you know that everything good about us, everything beautiful about us, everything fine about us is a gift from God? Satan was cast out of heaven because of pride. God resists the proud. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Someone has said, pride is the only disease that makes everybody sick except the person who has it. Young people, pride is a sin. It's a sin that must be laid aside. How is it with you? Is pride something that you know is filling your heart on a daily basis? You can't run well, young people, if there's pride in your heart. The second sin that so easily besets Christians is unbelief. Specifically, unbelief about one's own sinful heart. Unbelief regarding God's will. Unbelief regarding the sufficiency of God's mercy. Unbelief regarding God's power. Can God really provide for me a table in the wilderness? And maybe some of you think right now, even at Bob Jones University, I feel like I'm in a wilderness, spiritually speaking. God can. If we are truly honest with our own hearts, how little faith we really possess. We walk by sight, we walk not by faith. And lest you have forgotten, unbelief is a sin. In reference to post-Egypt Israel, Hebrews 3:12 states, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." And departing from the living God. And because we fail to believe God, we fail to trust Him. We fail to look to Him for our daily bread, for our sufficiency. And consequently, like the children of Israel, we stumble and we fall and we become consumed in the wilderness. We die in the wilderness, never reaching the promised land of temporal and spiritual blessings that God has for us now and the future and eternal blessings that will go to those who have pleased God. Faith in Him pleases God. Now, unbelief may, as in the case of Thomas, spring from intellectual difficulties. But the majority of unbelief springs from moral causes. And the reason is God has given to each of us the ability to discern His truth. Romans chapter 2 tells us that this divine law is written within our hearts. And yet how often we deliberately turn our backs on this light and we allow some secret sin, some desired evil to live in our hearts. And it is those secret sins which equate to some moral obliquity, some beam in our own eye, some secret indulgence which destroys our spiritual perception. Carnality mars our ability to discern. I know if I allow some sin in my own life, one of the first things that occurs is unbelief. Unbelief in the reality and the promises of God. Sin distorts my confidence, my trust, my understanding of God. If God seems far away, maybe it's because you have some sin in your life that's separating your soul from your Savior. And how can you and I run well when our hope in the living God is weak? Because He is the strength of our life. But what do we do when unbelief enters? Well, we put away every known sin. We put away every known sin. We crucify those affections and those lusts. We read and we meditate on God's Word, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, the psalmist asked, and he answered his own question by taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. Paul said, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Then we wait on God's Spirit to move in our hearts. Number four, we are obedient to the light we have. And we can believe that God will answer us, for no good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. Young people, for your spiritual well-being, you must be a Christian that runs, which means you possess a heart that's free and you possess a heart that's pure. You lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset you. Quality number two, to run well, you must have feet that do not quit. Looking again at our text, we are told to run with patience the race that is set before us. After we have put off every weight and the sin which hinders us, we are to run with endurance, with contentment and confidence that all things are working together for our good. We are to keep on pressing on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are to keep on keeping on. The word quit is not in our vocabulary. Especially when I was in high school, there were many times that I would find myself running out in these wheat fields of California, asking myself, what in the world am I doing? We used to call those people that went out for cross country fools. That was the fool's sport. I mean, what fun is there just to go out and run? But you know, I kept running, and I just kept running, and I just kept running. I kept putting in all those miles. And you know, had I quit, I would have forfeited the privilege of being a part of the best track team in North Central California. I am so glad I didn't quit. Now, there are many crosses to bear. There are many disappointments. There are many trials. And how easy it is to become weary and well-doing. And consequently, how easy it is then to become discouraged and to ask ourselves, is Christianity worth it? Is it really worth it? You hear these chapel speakers, and I know you heard great messages last week during Bible conference, and you hear what these men are saying, but do you really believe what they're saying? Are you willing to put into practice what these men are saying? Like Elijah, we request of the Lord that we might die. But young people, there are two resources of comfort open to us that will enable us patiently to endure. And they are, number one, you must remember that the course before you is set by your Heavenly Father, who knows the way that you take. He knows all of its roughness. He knows all of its straightness. He knows its ups and downs. But He promises that we will not be tested above that which we are able, but will with the temptation be made a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. He promises, as our days, so shall our strength be. He promises to be the strength of our life. He promises grace to help in time of need. He promises us new mercies for each morning, because great is His faithfulness. Young people, you don't have to quit, because you can tap into the strength of the living God. He promises that when we are reproached for the name of Christ, the Spirit of the glory of God will rest upon us. I think of Stephen when he was being stoned. The Spirit of glory came alongside of him. And if God's grace, young people, was sufficient for the ultimate of earthly trials, martyrdom, I think I am safe in saying God's grace, His power, will be sufficient for you today. As you study, as you take tests, as you go on extension, as you make important decisions, you don't have to quit because God will see you through. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. And what the reality, the constancy of God's grace and power does for our daily faith, I say it keeps us running. I say to you right now, if you want to quit, if you're thinking at the end of this semester, I'm going home, I'm quitting, what you're doing is you are quitting what God has called you to do. You are not experiencing the power and the strength of the living God. For of His fullness we have received, and grace upon grace. John 1 verse 16. The songwriter has written, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. I like what Annie Johnson Flint wrote, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we have reached the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth, and He giveth again. Young people, I quit one thing in my life, and I regret that to this day. And then the second source of patience is found in the words of verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, which really is the third quality of a life that runs. That being eyes that are fixed on the Savior. First we have a heart that is free and pure. Then we have feet that refuse to quit. And finally we have eyes that are looking unto Jesus, seeking Him. And I know personally that when my eyes are on Jesus, I run no matter what. When my eyes are on the Lord Jesus Christ, I do lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset me. I do run with endurance the race that is set before me. There's something marvelously wonderful when we look to Jesus. He keeps us going. Now the Greek word for looking means to look away from. And two, we look away from past failure and even success. We look away from human blame. We look away from human applause, away from gold and glitter and the approval of men. Some of us are in bondage because we're always trying to seek the approval of men. And we fix and we focus and we gaze upon the author, meaning the pioneer, the source, the beginning, the prince, the captain, the leader, the alpha. And the finisher, meaning the omega, the completer, the ending of our faith. Albert Barnes says Christ stands at the head as the most eminent example that can be referred to on the subject of faith and as the supreme example of endurance. Peter writes of our example, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, He reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. And the author of Hebrews writes, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such opposition of sinners, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds or lose heart. Young people, look to Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. He will keep you running. Abraham, a hero of the faith, part of the cloud of witnesses, did just that. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Moses, another hero of the faith, endured as seeing him who is invisible. Young people, Christ persevered so that he might receive the joy of fulfilling the Father's will. Now for us, no joy comes when we look to the world full of sin and corruption, a world that will be burned up. No joy comes to us when we look to others, for the arm of flesh does fail, we dare not trust our own. No joy comes to us when we look to ourselves, for we are at best unprofitable servants, and in our flesh dwells no good thing. But what joy comes to our hearts when we run well the course that He has set before us, when we by faith have fulfilled His will. Young people, I admonish you to look to Jesus, yield to His meekness, His humility, His love, His zeal for souls, His self-denial, His purity, His faith, His patience, and His prayerfulness. What an example to follow. In closing, let me ask you, is your heart free and pure? Are your feet energized by endurance? Are your eyes fixed on Jesus? If so, you as a student will be able to run the race God has set before you. And in a short time, you will walk across this platform to receive a diploma, and you will fix your eyes on Jesus once again and say, Jesus, thank you for the hope. Thank you for the endurance. And thank you for the joy. Father, I thank you that we've been able to look into your word. Lord, I pray that something was said this morning that will challenge and encourage these dear young people to just keep on running.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bob Lane, pastor of Westside Baptist Church in Augusta, Georgia. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.